Okay, call the Township of McKellar Committee of Adjustment meeting of November the 7th, 2023 to order. Start with roll call.
Well, Morley Hoskin.
Nick Ryland.
Rich Moore.
Debbie Zula.
Mike Hackenham.
Secretary Treasurer Carly Britton.
Chris Bordalo.
Okay, David Moore, Chair. Any disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none, we have resolution 23-35, moved by Councilor or Debbie Zulak, seconded by Mike Tekkonen. The Committee of Adjustment meeting agenda is accepted as presented. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Down to minutes, we have resolution 23-36, moved by Debbie Zulak, seconded by Mike Tekkonen. Committee of Adjustment minutes from the October 3rd, 2023 meeting are accepted as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The application before us today is A/10/2023 Goldschmidt, Zalman, and Ludmila. And it's for a proposed accessory open-air building to exceed the maximum lot area coverage and exceeds the maximum floor area. What I'll do is read the resolution first of all, and then we'll go from there. I have resolution 23-37, moved by Reg Moore, seconded by Morley Hoskin. The Committee of Adjustment does hereby grant the minor variance application A/10/2023 Goldschmidt to permit relief of the maximum lot area coverage for the construction of one accessory open-air building to exceed the allowable lot area coverage. The maximum lot area coverage is increased from 15% as regulated in Schedule B of Bylaw 95-12 as amended to 18%, having 3% relief from the maximum lot area coverage, and further to permit relief of the maximum floor area for the construction of the above-mentioned accessory open-air building to exceed the maximum floor area as defined in Section 2.72 of Bylaw 95-12 as amended. The maximum floor area is increased from 15 square meters to 48.6 square meters, having 33.6 square meters relief from the maximum floor area. All other applicable sections of Bylaw 95-12 as amended are to be complied with. Ask the Secretary Treasurer if any correspondence has been received.
No letters or related correspondence has been received.
Okay, and normally ask the applicant if you have any comments, but not here. So I'll put it out to the committee members. Any questions or comments regarding this application and the resolution that's just been read? Yes.
So,
Zulak.
It's not under gazebo. It's an open-air building. Is that what's changed?
I don't see any gazebo in the definition. In the actual resolution. But I'm sure people will speak to that shortly.
I'd just like to say the word gazebo may not be there, but it says it's limited to 15 square meters, and that's the only thing that's limited to 15 square meters. So.
And it's in section 2.72?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, any comments on this? Right.
So, first of all, at the meeting on August the 15th, this same application may be a little bit different, but it was refused, and the reason it was refused in the notice that went out because it exceeded the permitted floor area. 272 of Bylaw 95-12 was amended. That's the reason that was given for the refusal. And now we're making that part of the resolution for this application. I don't know whether that's exactly right to do that or not. The discussion around this at the August 15th meeting was if the proposed building was called an accessory building of another name and not a gazebo, that the variance for the size wouldn't be required. It'd still be required to have the variance for the lot coverage, but not for the size. With that in mind, I'd like to propose an amendment to the resolution. So first of all, in the first part of the resolution, the word area should be taken out everywhere it says lot area coverage. The definition is lot coverage, not lot area coverage. Do you want me to just give you this? I actually printed it out so you don't have to try to...
Might make it easier.
Should I read it aloud so the committee can hear?
Sure.
That the Committee of Adjustment does hereby grant minor variance application A10-2023 Goldschmidt to permit relief of the maximum lot coverage for the erection of one accessory covered unenclosed building, which will be used as a seasonal sitting area. This accessory building will have a ground floor area of 48.6 square meters, which will exceed the allowable lot coverage. The maximum lot coverage is increased from 15% as regulated in Schedule B of Bylaw 9512 as amended to 18%, having a 3% relief from the lot coverage. The building is to be located as per the site plan attached to Schedule B.
Just so you know, the reason I said Schedule B is because the site plan that the applicant provided says Schedule A on it, and I believe it's a Schedule A from a site plan agreement. Chris may know that better. It looks to me as though it's from the site, original site plan.
It's probably an attached Schedule A to an existing.
So I just thought to confuse the two to make this Schedule B.
Do you make sense? So you've got one accessory, and now you have a top on it, you said? It would be a roof? What did
that
call it?
Always the case.
Enclosed?
Covered,
okay.
Unenclosed,
but just the roof is covered?
Yeah, the
okay.
Wording is covered, unenclosed.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to remember the changes that came through there.
Right.
And so...
Well, Carly could pass that around, maybe.
Sure. So you're suggesting then that 2.72 has nothing to do with this?
The second part of the original resolution is gone. There's no need for it.
So it's just for
just
lot
for
coverage.
Lot coverage, not for the size of the building.
So that's why they have in there in number 7 about 15%, 3%, 18%.
That's lot coverage.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's why that's in there, because I don't think that was in that previous one.
Yeah.
Was it?
Chris?
Can I speak?
Sure, go ahead. No, I don't mind. You can sit down.
So, when I spoke to Carly about this, the reason that I thought it'd be prudent to put in an accessory open-air structure is because of what they are building. Is they are building a gazebo. And that's why there was the added increase in floor area as per that definition of the zoning bylaw from 14 square meters to the increase, because at the end of the day they're building a gazebo. So I just thought it would be wise to call it what it is, an accessory open air structure. There's no kind of hiding anything. I think trying to call it anything else is just putting the CBO in a difficult position to either reject or have to try and make that decision or how to interpret that. And that's why I thought it was wise to say, if they're building a gazebo, I didn't see why we can't just call it a gazebo. And the application was to increase the maximum allowed size. So.
No, I just don't know. You could maybe help us in your experience. Do you ever go back to make sure it isn't being used for something else?
If I get called.
Yeah.
But whether it's an open air structure, the wording that Reg proposed, you know, at the end of the day, I think everybody knows what it's being used for. It's an accessory open air structure, which is the definition of a gazebo. And that's what they're intending to build. why we can't just call it that.
So
just for clarity.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's the difference between an accessory open air structure and an accessory seasonal sitting area?
Nothing. But if it is a gazebo, the gazebo is what is defined in the zoning bylaw.
And it's an accessory building. So if they make application to you for a permit for an accessory building as a seasonal sitting area that has a roof and no walls, is that a reasonable thing for them to ask for?
I think in the zoning bylaw, that would be defined as a gazebo, an accessory open air structure. So it's a building that is accessory to the principal use being the dwelling. They're using it as an open air structure.
So then,
whether it's for sitting or, I think everybody knows that if it is for sitting, it's a gazebo. At the end of the day, if it was a carport, that's an accessory open air structure, but it is a carport. It's defined as something different.
And they're all accessory buildings.
There are all accessory buildings, but it's just dependent on the use of that building. If it's a carport, you call it a carport. A carport is defined. A sitting area, an exterior sitting area that is a covered structure that is open to the elements with a roof above it, by definition is a gazebo. By definition in the zoning bylaw.
Right. And if there wasn't a definition in the zoning bylaw, it would be?
If there wasn't a definition, it wouldn't be restricted in size in the zoning bylaw. But the fact that they're building something that is restricted in size as a gazebo,
so
that's what their building permit application would be.
So the bylaw defines a gazebo. It permits its use in a front yard, and it restricts the area because of the use in the front yard.
It permits it in the front yard, but it doesn't specifically restrict the size because it's in the front yard.
Yeah. No, we can only assume that. So if I had a residential property and I come to you and I made application for a permit for a 20x20 greenhouse in my backyard, an accessory greenhouse, there's no definition in the bylaw for that building. Where would you look to issue me that permit? What would you call it?
I would call it a greenhouse. 20x20 would not require a building permit because it's typically a tent structure, a greenhouse. Under 20x20, under 60 square meters.
Wouldn't be a tent structure, I'm talking about glass. A glass greenhouse.
So it would be an accessory farm use, which is permitted in the rural zone.
No, I said a residential lot.
A residential lot?
Yeah.
Which is rural, or rural residential?
RR. Yeah,
RR.
Residential lot, not farm use.
I think if you're saying that it's a greenhouse, then that's what the building permit is going to say. And if that's what the building permit is going to say, then that's what anything zoning should say.
So what I'm getting at is you don't have to issue permits for defined things in the bylaw. You can issue permits for all kinds of things that aren't defined.
Defined. Yeah. But
and
if that's
for us, the committee, what Dave Wellwood said from J.L. Richards holds no weight with me, because we're the committee. We're the ones that have to decide, even though he is a planner. I know how planners work. I have enough experience with them. Their first question whenever you ask them something is, what do you think?
Now maybe just fill us in on what did he say, just to remind us. But
Carly sent us an email.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, did we just get that today, sort of thing? So
no, we got that a month and a half ago.
Right, that's why I'm just refresh. What did he say?
Oh, I don't have it from me.
Oh, okay. But you disagree.
And
with
it wasn't his words; it was Carly.
Oh, okay.
Saying what he said. Maybe she has it. I don't know.
I'll look it up here.
I think my whole point is that regardless of the committee's decision, if an application for a building permit were to be made to the CBO for a gazebo that exceeded the size and there wasn't a decision that included that, then the committee has put the CBO in a position to refuse a permit based on that. So that's why I thought it was wise to just include the area portion of it. It's the committee's decision to make whether it be included as per the original resolution or as per Mr. Moore's resolution, but I just, that was my reasoning for having that in there.
So what I'm saying is it may be wise and prudent for you to do that. Is it wise and prudent for the committee of adjustment to give a minor variance for a building that's three times the size that's permitted? Is it not easier just to call it another name and we don't have to worry about size?
That was my next question. How do we define minor? And I'm not sure if they ever have a minor variance.
Well, David Wellwood touches on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so he said in order to determine if the requested gazebo is minor, you would need to look at the impact of the gazebo on the property and its surroundings. Are there any similar size gazebos on nearby properties? Did the gazebo have a negative visual impact on surrounding areas? Would it be so large that it is highly visible and seems out of place? If the answer is no, then you could still consider it a minor variance in his opinion.
And we've had no complaints from any neighbors?
No.
Drive-bys. Okay. And they, well, I'm not sure they're paying attention even once it goes up the hill, but they might contact us then.
And the property location is not on the main township road. You know, you have to travel specifically to get there. It's not like it's on Center Road or Burnett's Road where people are passing it to access their property. It's on a peninsula.
It's actually on the circle, I think, too. So it's almost like it's pretty much the furthest one in, so everybody's going out the other direction.
According to the sketch, it says trees and bush between the gazebo and, I assume, the road is here, although I don't know what it says.
So
I did have trouble figuring that part out. But
the committee has to keep in mind is that each application is on its own merit, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody wants to build something else that's accessory and limited in size, a sleeping cabin or something like that, and they apply for something that's three times the size, the committee has to keep that in mind.
But this isn't setting a precedent.
It isn't setting a precedent because it's on its own merit. But
yeah.
Is the committee, what are they doing?
Yeah. That's good.
And the other thing is, to keep in mind what I just said, the reason for refusal. I'll read it verbatim, the reason that the notice was put out, the reason for refusal. The proposed gazebo exceeds the permitted floor area as defined in section 272 of bylaw 9512 as amended. So that's why we refused the last application. Now we're being asked under a new application to approve.
Yeah.
The same thing exactly.
Can it be argued though that we have more information tonight?
Not for me, not from what David Wellwood said. It's still three times the size, it hasn't changed. No, Chris hasn't changed my mind because he's basing his decision on what the CBO thinks. He doesn't think he can in good conscience, issue a permit. That has no bearing on the committee's decision.
The only reason I spoke up is because if the committee were to prove that, I just feel like it would be a waste to the applicant if the CBO had to decide to reject the permit based on that,
and
that they haven't made that consideration for the size.
And that's why I said at the last meeting, should this be a zoning amendment and not a minor variance, then that would result.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the very first things I said at the last meeting. It's three times the size. Is it a zoning amendment? Once, if the township does a zoning amendment, then they would do the zoning amendment for a building that's three times the size permitted.
Special provision, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus the area. They could consider the area and the zoning amendment, but I just wanted to make the point is that just because the committee made a decision today, if they were to approve it, it doesn't necessarily grant a permit, because I just felt that it would put the CBO in a tough place.
I'm just trying to think. There was a previous application. Can't remember the people. They were back at Smith's Road. There was a huge property they were building, and we had two conditions in that application. For it was a large outdoor building that was going to be secondary to the principal residence.
It was fairly recent, was it not?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess a year or so.
A year.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, I'm trying to think, I don't even know the application number, but there, I don't think it was very specific on what he was going to actually use it for, other than that it had to be related to what goes on in the principal residence. It has to be accessory to that.
For an accessory garage that that exceeded the size of the principal use.
I think it said storage, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Yeah, about basically an accessory storage building, but
I'm just trying to think.
I believe it was third. It was quite large.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it was double the size of the house, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. It was maybe 4,000 square feet.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look. I'm trying to look for consistency. What was passed back then? And of course, there have been no complaints, I guess. I don't think there's been anybody checking.
I think the other part to consider, and that's what, kind of what David Bowe commented on, is that it's not necessarily the size that is considered as minor. Minor is not a defined term when it comes to the Committee of Adjustment making decisions. I don't think it's strictly related to size. I think the use can be considered minor, the location can be considered minor, the impact. I think there's a lot of different impacts when it comes to being minor in nature, not strictly related to size. Now, size does have an impact on that, but there's more than just size that is considered or needs to be considered.
That one in Broadbent was a little bit different situation.
It was closed.
Because this here, when the definition limits the size. The definition of that building didn't limit the size. What was limited in the size was going to be bigger than the main.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that was limited.
Yeah, I'm just saying it didn't specify what it was going to be used for. See, I was.
Yeah, there's that 5:30, 6:30 confusion. Oh. But I know it's on the agenda then.
No, I was getting at not so much the size that was approved, it was more the use. It was very general, it didn't specify really what it was going to be used for.
Right.
Like it didn't say a barn or storage, I don't think, it just said an accessory building, and that was the concern. What is it going to be used for, you know, for a helicopter or, don't know. But, and I wondered, and I know this is not an accessory, but I'm wondering what the pavilion in the park, how is that defined? Because what's happening now, and it's open air with a roof on it, but people are parking in it. I saw it happen. Not that they're supposed to be, but it's being used as a carport in a sense.
It becomes different than what it's supposed to be used for, but I think the basis of any decision, and same when it comes to issuing a building permit, is what the intended use is.
Intended use, yeah.
Yes, if they start to use it for something else, that has to be addressed at that time.
Okay. Other comments? Committee members.
You try to go by what you have on paper, and of course, Greg has some good points in that it's succeeding by a lot, but sometimes a site visit would tell you so much, you know, how it does fit in, you know, to the neighboring properties, and is it going to be that visible kind of thing, but I know it's a it's not part of the process to do a site visit, but I just think that should be the case going forward, to actually go out to the property and have a look at what they're proposing, to try to make a judgment off of this. And for something that's three times the size, right away you would think, whoa, that's hardly minor. But if you went there and said, okay, as per the planner's stating, basically, if it can fit in and not affect neighbors and everything. So I just, going forward for future applications, I don't know who would actually do a site visit, but I just would like to suggest it in the future.
Okay, right.
Just to touch on what Marley said, every committee member has the right to go and visit the property. Whenever the first application came in, I did go and visit the property.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know whether Mike did, but I know he quite often does. So, you know, it's up to you as a committee member to go and visit the property. You don't have to be told to do it.
Yeah, you visited one out in Fox Farm.
Yeah, that's right.
And Burnett's, I'm sure, before that was all done too. It was a little different here, but Other comments?
And what did you see, Reg, when you went there for a site visit?
There's a lot of buildings on the property. You know, it's going to be barely covered because obviously he's applying for 3% over what he's permitted in lot coverage. So there is a lot of building there. As far as being intrusive or that, it probably isn't. There's no letters around, so nobody's complaining. But I just don't feel that three times the size is minor, especially when we refuse the other one for exactly the same reason.
I like the fact that it is being proposed as a gazebo compared to an accessory building, because the first thing I kind of looked at is this eventually going to turn into an enclosed garage? You know, kind of that's what you kind of think in your mind. So if that ever did happen, obviously it would be an illegal building then.
Did you read what my proposed amendment was?
Well, it'll be read out again because we vote first of all on the amendment and then we vote on the originals or the amended original.
So unclosed building.
Covered, unenclosed.
Right. Okay. What else am I supposed to see
here? Seasonal sitting area.
Which will be used as a seasonal sitting area. Okay, well, it's covered double whammy basically to stop from turning into a garage.
Well, just to answer you morally, if it was a garage and the lot coverage was approved, it would be permitted.
Yeah.
If it was a garage, but it's described now as a gazebo.
If the committee approved the lot coverage to increase by 3%, he could build an enclosed garage. Yes.
So right now, like say if he put up a gazebo and then he decided to enclose it right now with the first motion, he can
build a garage because a garage is permitted. He would meet the lot coverage setbacks as long as he complied with height requirements. He would be permitted a second garage on the property. He does have one.
Mm-hmm. If no variance is applied for.
If the variance for the lot coverage was approved by the committee
and never mentioned anything else, just for lot coverage, nothing.
Then he could build a garage.
But it couldn't mention anything else about a gazebo or being uncovered or enclosed or anything like that.
Yes, he could build a carport, and he could call this a carport. And if he wanted to park a little vehicle in there, I suppose he meets the definition of a carport. But I just, my entire point was to call a spade a spade. If he's using it as a gazebo, why not call it a gazebo?
If that amended resolution gets passed, and he comes back to you, issue the permit, and he builds a seasonal sitting area. He comes back to you in 2 years and wants to change it to a garage. Are you going to issue him a change of use permit or a permit to change it into a garage to enclose it?
I could.
He's not in compliance with the variance that let him build it in the first place. He wouldn't be in compliance with zoning. So you'd be
contravening
applicable law yourself.
No, but the application is for lot coverage, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, but it specifies what the building is.
I'd have to read it again.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at, that if he ever does enclose it, well, then he would be illegal because in the description it is an open air.
Sure,
yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't enclose it.
No, the issue of a permit for the CEO contravening the applicable law, not the other.
Open your building. Oh my God.
And that the amended resolution to whatever I said attached to Schedule B, we would do the same as we did before. Stroke up gazebo, put seasonal sitting area, and then initial it, because the site plan shows gazebo. Site plan is exactly the same as the first site plan.
You're not. So you're suggesting cross out gazebo on the site plan?
Yeah, the site plan is identical to the first one.
Who made the site plan, though? The applicant?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can't change what the applicant's applying for?
We did that the last time. The last one we just did, the last committee meeting.
Well, the one we defeated?
We didn't change what he was applying for. We changed the setbacks, not on the site plan.
Yeah, it's just the way it's labeled there. I don't know. I guess we can do it, but...
Either that or make no mention of the site plan, then if we can't change it. A committee has the power to change it if they can initial it.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with that. If I recall, though, the application itself still says gazebo. The one that he filled in.
No, the application...
He changed that?
The application didn't mention gazebo, but the site plan did have the structure labeled as a gazebo.
Yeah, that's the original.
You sure the...
You resubmitted the one that same one he did originally. Mm-hmm.
And then, on the purpose and type of application, number 6, so it says in section 2.72, so would that still be in there, or would you take that out? Because it's referring to section 2.72 in the application.
I don't think that changed anything in the application. The application itself proper isn't applicable law. The variances. So he may be applying for that.
Oh, okay.
If you start doing that, every application that comes in is probably wrong. Not just for minor variants, I mean building permit applications, everything.
Yeah, I must be thinking of the original.
Some people don't know where to live. I think we got to get going here. I'm done talking. I'm ready to vote.
I just thought it looked, you're right, it doesn't say gazebo this time. I thought I'd read it again and I wondered why it was still in there. But,
but on site plan it says gazebo,
yeah,
right?
On site plan it does.
And the resolution says that too. The resolution that's first and second.
Because it reverts to 2.72. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll go with the amendment first of all.
So is the committee moving forward with the resolution that Reg put forth, or are we amending the one that was included in the package?
Well, I would think that is an amendment, which leaves out the second
paragraph.
That's pretty well just the first paragraph, right?
And it's referencing the building as a accessory covered enclosed building, which will be used as a seasonal sitting area.
Covered unenclosed?
Unenclosed.
You said enclosed, but I don't...
Sorry, unenclosed.
Okay. That's what I heard anyway. I'm just saying that. But.
You moved it and Morley seconded.
I think the question is this. So with this proposed amendment, if we pass it, and then it goes to the building department and the chief building official rejects it, where do we go from there? Like how long do if we can come to a firm resolution that addresses all issues and concerns right here, the applicant can move forward with their building permit and their construction. I think it's important for us to come to some type of firm conclusion that addresses the issues and that we can move, that the applicant doesn't have to come forward with another application for a zoning bylaw amendment.
And then initial that there too. So.
Sorry. And the site plan work.
Yeah, just...
No,
sign and this?
You did.
Yeah, I did.
No, no, it's site plan itself. Site plan proper. Where it's located. The building.
Oh, over there, man.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm not sure they heard your argument. You see, that's the trouble.
Sorry, Mike.
That's okay.
By the time that's photographed again, nobody will be able to read any of it anyway, so.
Yeah, you were touching on Mike, so we're thinking there still might be a problem with him getting his building permit.
That's what it seems like. That's what I think I was hearing, that if we vote on and approve this amended resolution, or motion, or whatever, this motion, there's a possibility that when it goes to the CBO's office, the building permit application may be rejected.
Right.
So then the applicant will have to go through a zoning bylaw amendment for a special provision, whereas from what I understand, the resolution as initially presented, if council approves it, it will receive approval from the CBO and the building permit will go forward?
I would like to read the resolution one more time before I answer. So just, you know, as I've said, I just don't feel like it is a good idea to put the CBO in that position. I think it's wise to be clear. I think the committee can look at it in one of two ways. They approve the original resolution as it is, which touches on the size of the building and then the lot coverage. Or they make the decision now that the size is going to be the restricting factor and that a rezoning is required. That's my opinion. That the committee can decide either way, but I just think it's not a great thing to put the CBO in a position that it really, at the end of the day, I believe it can be interpreted that it is a gazebo at the end of the day, and the minor variance hasn't addressed the size problem as per the definition.
So you've read the initial motion that has come forward
yes.
to the committee, and that motion meets all of addresses all the issues that are being brought forward to this committee. And
as far as a building permit would go, an applicable law, yes. At the end of the day, it's the committee's decision on whether they want to consider it minor. I think that's the biggest hurdle that has been presented from Mr. Moore is that is a building three times the size considered minor? Can you consider the use, the location, all of those other factors as evidence that it is minor? I believe so. As you said, everything is case by case. There's no precedent being set. Again, just to say it one more time, it's just I think it's wise to be clear and call a spade a spade. If it's going to be used as this type of building, why can you not just call it that type of building? So
I thought it was done, but I'm not quite.
Okay.
As everybody knows,
those means I'll be sure.
As everybody knows, I spent a lot of years doing Chris's job, and there's always such a thing as sufficiency of compliance. You always have to weigh things, and I understand what Chris is saying about being clear, but things are never clear whenever it comes to issuing permits and doing inspections and everything. There's always gray, as far as I'm concerned. So I tried to point that out in the issuance of a permit for a greenhouse in a residential lot. It always isn't just right there in front of you. Sometimes you have to use your imagination a little bit. If the permit is issued for what the variance is permitting in the amendment, then people can say it's a gazebo if they want. It has no ramification on you. You've done your job. You've issued a permit for what the variance is for. It's an accessory building. It's for sitting in. People can call it a gazebo if they want. Doesn't make any difference. You've done your job. And to not issue the permit, I'm going to tell you right now, I think you'd be wrong. I know the only recourse for the owner would be to go to the Superior Court of Justice, but I still think you're wrong.
Okay, well, we've got the amendment in front of us. I'll read it through again. And we'll vote on that first. The amendment's changing the first paragraph and eliminating the second. So it's the Committee of Adjustment is hereby grant the minor variance. This is by Reg Moore and Morley Haslam. Committee of Adjustment is hereby grant the minor variance application A/10/2023 Goldschmidt to permit relief of the maximum lot coverage for the erection of one accessory covered unenclosed building, which will be used as a seasonal sitting area. This accessory building will have a ground floor area of 48.6 square meters, which will exceed the allowable lot coverage. The maximum lot coverage is increased from 15% as regulated in Schedule B of Bylaw 95-12 as amended to 18%, having a 3% relief from the lot coverage. The building is to be located as per the site plan attached to Schedule B.
So I thought we were voting on the amendment first.
This is your amendment, I thought. Yes. Just what you gave us.
Oh, okay.
So I'll put that to a vote then. I think people can ask for a recorded vote if they wish. This is the amendment.
I think it's recorded anyway.
Sorry?
It's recorded anyway.
If you want it to be.
Oh, it will be on the
Oh, yeah, it's still on there, but I'm just saying if you want it, actually, a division vote by recorded, anybody can ask for that.
Yes.
So I'll just, by a show of hands, all those in favor? Opposed?
Okay, opposed to the amendment?
That's for the original or the amended?
This is the amendment I just read.
I'm in favor.
That's what you wrote. So again, all those in favor of the amendment. Those opposed to the amendment. Okay, looks like the amendment's defeated. So then we're back to the original, unless people want more amendments.
With area crossed out.
Yeah.
And the area is in there twice, isn't it?
Three times.
Yeah, no.
The original resolution again, moved by Reg Moore, second by Morley Haskam. This is resolution 23-37. The Committee of Adjustment is hereby grant the minor variance application A/10/2023 Goldschmidt to permit relief of the maximum lot coverage for the construction of one accessory open air building to exceed the allowable lot area coverage. The maximum lot coverage area is increased from 15% as regulated in Schedule B of Bylaw 95-12 as amended to 18%, having 3% relief from the maximum lot coverage, and further to permit relief of the maximum floor area for the construction of the above-mentioned accessory open-air building to exceed the maximum floor area as defined in Section 2.72 of Bylaw 95-12 as amended. The maximum floor area is increased from 15 square meters to 48.6 square meters, having 33.6 square meters relief from the maximum floor area. All other applicable sections of Bylaw 95-12 as amended are to be complied with. Yes?
On the third line, it says allowable lot area coverage. Are we taking that area out in that line?
Is this another amendment?
No. You were taking them all out before, lot area coverage?
I just took out area. Lot coverage stays.
But so the aerial appears three times in that first paragraph?
Right.
As long as that's what I heard you say.
I think I took it out three times.
Yeah.
There's four. Oh, there's four.
And my hearing isn't great, okay. Oh. But
that's awesome.
Debbie said there's four.
Yeah, there's one.
Is there another?
More.
Yeah, here, but that's not the same.
Oh, there. Okay, see it.
Where is it? Oh.
Yeah. Okay, that one's removed too.
Aerial cover, yeah.
Keen eye.
Good God.
I read what's in front of me. Okay, Mark.
I'm just wondering, and Chris could comment on this. Should gazebo be put in on this resolution?
The resolution includes the definition of gazebo, an accessory open air structure.
Building.
Is the definition of a gazebo in the zoning bylaw?
Okay. But it's
so whether it's a gazebo, it's still defining what a gazebo is.
Okay, but so is like a carport a open
open
air building?
I don't know by definition in the zoning bylaw, but I believe it is a defined separate term in the zoning bylaw.
It's a different definition. It includes a building or structure intended to shelter vehicles that has at least one open wall.
Okay.
That's 272?
No.
That's
the carport, okay.
2.29.
But 272 is just for gazebo.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is covered. Okay, call the question on the motion in front of us. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay, that's carried.
Sign that.
No, you wouldn't.
That's why I didn't come to you first.
I was seeing if you were awake.
I read it and it said concur. I don't know. That's me.
Resolution 23-38, moved by Nick Riley, signed by Reg Ward. The committee of adjustment does now adjourn. All in favor?
Did we do the minutes?
Yes. Carried?
Yeah.